All right. Thank you. Well, this evening, we're so thankful because we have spiritual blessings in Christ, and it's because the kingdom has come, the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're going to be looking at this evening, some basics, some elements that establish our faith. We can read about the gospel of the kingdom in places like Matthew 13 and 1 Corinthians 15. We know that the natural world is divided into three kingdoms. It's the plant or vegetable kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and the animal kingdom. And if you would ask the atheist, he would deny that these kingdoms were created by God. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, the atheist, and there's many also religious people who would deny that the kingdom of heaven has been established here on the earth. But the Holy Scriptures affirm and prove that the kingdom of heaven has come. So tonight, it's good for us to break down these components of the kingdom of heaven to build our faith and strengthen us as we try to help others see and love and obey and enter and remain in God's glorious kingdom. So, let's look at the Old Testament, Bible history, as these components, these essential elements of a kingdom are there for us. We know that God established His kingdom, a kingdom, through promises made to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's good for us to turn to Exodus chapter 6 as we read of seven promises that he made to the children of Israel while they were in bondage. So the first thing we want to talk about is promises of God. And here's seven promises that we want to highlight in Exodus chapter 6. And the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord." And here are the seven promises. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So he became Lord to his people when he delivered them out from bondage and redeemed them with the blood of the Passover lambs. And he gave them the law. And then those who faithfully followed him entered the promised land. Now let's look at how he made it so easy for them to follow if they were choose to do so. Let's look at Numbers chapter 9. In Numbers chapter 9, we see there in verse 15, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. And so it was, when the cloud remained only until evening until morning, only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So we see there that the Lord was their king, and he provided for them, he led them, he protected them, and he fought for them and warned them. Not one thing failed of all the good things which the Lord their God spoke concerning them. We see that over in Joshua chapter 23. In Joshua 23, verses 14 through 16, we read, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." This is Joshua speaking. "And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you." And we know from Bible history that they suffered these things. They did perish from the land. But as we could read in the books of like Nehemiah, they were brought back by the power of God because his promises are sure. And he fulfilled the conditional promise to make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to him. We read this over in Exodus chapter 19, this conditional promise. In Exodus 19, verses 1 through 8, "In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And so the covenant was established and it's conditional. And God's promises were there before them if they would just be faithful and obey, keep themselves as a holy nation. So now we come to the new covenant. That is, that God promised that in faithful Abraham, that in him all nations shall be blessed. These blessings came and they still come through his son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In him, that is in Jesus, all the promises of God are yes. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. and verse 18 through 22. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So in him, the faithful are delivered from this present evil age. We know that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and we read that in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And in Christ we also have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see over in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7 through 10, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are in earth, which are on earth, in him. And the law, as we consider these components of the kingdom, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if we are obedient and trusting and believing that it is the law of the kingdom, it can make us free from the law, and it has made us free for those who are obedient, from the law of sin and death. As we see over in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then as we continue in this, we see that God the Father set forth his Son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We can read this in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all, and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, that because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And then we also see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10 that God has made it possible through obedient faith in Jesus for us to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in beginning in verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire this pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who do believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So Jesus is the one who built the spiritual house that we just read about, and he is building the spiritual house, as we can read in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. He is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. The priesthood has changed. The Levitical priesthood is no more. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 12. And this is something to really focus upon as we think about the many false teachers out there today who believe that Jesus will come back and set up his throne on the earth to reign here for 1,000 years. But we know that cannot be true, because if that were true, then he could not be a priest here on the earth, because his priesthood cannot be here. It has to be in heaven and in the hearts of all who are spiritually minded. And so the priesthood has changed. And we know that the high priest, Jesus, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he's become higher than the heavens, according to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Jesus said in John 18:36 that his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is not of this world. If it were of this world, then his servants would fight that he would not be delivered to the Jews. But his kingdom is not from this world, and we know his kingdom is not eating and drinking, as we read over in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So to deny the existence of the kingdom of heaven here on the earth is to deny the Holy Spirit and his work. The Holy Spirit began his work on the day of Pentecost and ushered in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, our helper, our comforter. We read these over in John chapter 15 and verse 26. We read there, "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Then over in chapter 16, we read in verse 8, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." And so this really ties in really well with what we've been studying in the book of Acts, where we see how Jesus has revealed himself to the apostle Paul and the disciples in that time. They weren't expecting such a thing to happen, but the Holy Spirit is working through the apostles, and he starts to work through the apostle Paul after Jesus reveals himself to the apostle and makes him the one who will be a chosen vessel
to bear his name before kings and before the Gentiles. So he guided the apostles into all truth. The Holy Spirit did this, and that's why we have the scriptures today. And then because of the kingdom that it had been established, the kingdom of heaven, and the Holy Spirit being giving the apostles everything they needed to pertain unto life and godliness, so they became the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as we read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The king has his ambassadors, the apostles, and they still are working today through these scriptures. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the word of God, and it's described as the seed that we have in the word, the scriptures today, and through these holy scriptures, they planted this, the word of God, and they continue to do so. Also, the apostles laid the foundation of God's spiritual house. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 5 through 11, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So let us be a people who prepare our hearts to receive the word, receive the seed and keep it and bear fruit with patience. We can be like the ones described by Jesus in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. "And if we bear the fruit, we will be God's fellow workers, be vessels of honor, who are sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work." We can read that in 1 Timothy 2, 21. So let us be a people who sow the seed, because we are not ashamed of it. We are going to water it, and after it's planted, we can help it grow. So now let's think about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus teaches us how to do this. You and I, as we read over in Matthew chapter 18, must humble ourselves. Matthew 18, let's read verses 1 through 5. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" So we see how we must be united, we must be humble, we must be courteous, and we must be tender-hearted to one another if we will be in the kingdom of heaven. we also can look to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12, where Jesus makes those wonderful promises of blessings. Let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and shall say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted their prophets who were before you. And then we also can consider what Jesus said to Nicodemus about the kingdom of heaven and how to enter in John 3, verses 1 through 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again or from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So as obedient children who've been baptized into Christ, born of the water and the Spirit, we must be careful that we are a people, as we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, on the right hand of God. He now is our King and our High Priest, and we must be a royal priesthood, serving and offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we are also, as obedient children, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as we can read over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. We know there is the seven ones that we must focus upon there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then finally, we can think about the words of Apostle Paul as he described the mind of Christ, and over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, he concluded that description of the humility and the obedience of Jesus by saying, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Think about these words that God has instructed us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because to miss out on the kingdom of heaven is to miss out on everything important. Heaven will surely be worth it all. So we must be a people who continue in obedience and let God work in us, because it is for his good pleasure. His good pleasure is for us to be with him throughout eternity, as we read, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We also need to emphasize that it is strictly a matter of choice. So we want to emphasize the words that we read in the scriptures where there are those in days gone by who would choose to do what is right in their own eyes instead of choosing to obey and submit to the king. They wanted a king like all the nations around about them. So we should not usurp authority over our King Jesus. We should not be a people who choose to do what is right in our own eyes. We need to choose to obey the king. And this is an opportunity for those who need to obey this evening to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ and be part of that royal priesthood and holy nation and have hope of being with Jesus in that eternal kingdom when he comes once again, and he'll come the second time to receive the kingdom and deliver it to the Father, as we read over 1 Corinthians 15:24. So let us, as there are those who are not needing to be baptized, and we need to be determined to choose the right choice, to choose to stand up for Jesus and his kingdom and be faithful servants in his kingdom. So at this time, let us open our psalm books, and if anyone needs to obey at this time, come forward for prayers or anything, any needs you may have in this public time. We definitely are looking forward to being knit together in love and helping out where we need, where we can. So let's stand as we sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you.